I don't know of a better subject to speak on, but I'd like to bring your attention to some things about music tonight. The most beautiful music ever to be heard was in heaven, not on this earth. You know who was in charge of it? Satan, Lucifer. Lucifer was in charge of the music of heaven. God loves music. God has the most beautiful orchestra ever heard. I don't believe that we could begin to comprehend. But turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And let's look at verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountains of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. The most amazing thing about Lucifer was that God created him to be an orchestra. It's amazing because, you know, it talks about there that Lucifer had pipes. Did you get that? He's got pipes. You and I have one pipe. You and I have one pipe. Lucifer had many pipes. He was the most musical creation that was ever created. And it's interesting because this pipe, it's amazing. Now, I am not a basketball player, but I'll promise you, I'll guarantee you that if I get on a basketball court and shoot it 100 times, I can hit it at least once. You know why? Because I've never been interested in basketball. My kids and grandkids are. They all love to play, but just bouncing the ball just never did inspire me for some reason. It may inspire you, but it just hasn't inspired me. And I could shoot that basket and get it at least one time. And the truth is, if I practiced every day, I might would get to where I could hit it more often. I'm sure I could. And so I have this pipe, and you have this pipe. And this pipe starts right here, and it goes all the way down to the bottom of your diaphragm. And, somebody said, I grew up down there in Kentucky, you know what I mean? And a lot of people down there talk through their nose, and they sang through their nose. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know what I mean? And I've heard people talk about these people that sing with the nasal, you know. And so somebody said, don't sing through your nose. So I closed off my nose, and I quit singing from my nose. And I'd sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Boy, that's awful too, isn't it? That's worse than the nasal. And then somebody said, well, you know, you've got to sing from your diaphragm. And so I got way down in my diaphragm, and I begin to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? They're going to be calling me for the Metropolitan Opera pretty soon here. But, the truth is, you do sing through your nasal. You do sing from your throat. You sing from the pipe. From here to here, you use all of it. And you don't just get down there and sing in your diaphragm. You use every bit of it from top to bottom, and you do it in a natural tone, the way it should be. But anyway, we need to learn some things about music, don't we? We need to learn to breathe. I didn't know how to breathe when I was singing, did you? You say, boy, you know, but the truth is your breathing with your singing becomes very, very important. And then most people don't even know how to count. I didn't know how to count. I had to learn how to count. In music, you have to learn the count. And the truth is you have to practice. You have to practice, 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 practice. And then you've got to have somebody that will tell you and show you how it's done. Somebody said practice makes perfect. No, practice makes permanent. And you can learn something permanent wrong, and that doesn't make it right. Okay? The truth is, we know very little about music. Now you mark it down. We know very little about music. I grew up in Kentucky, as I told you this morning, and I love music, love to sing, and I started hanging around the local radio station and became interested in radio, and that's why we have a radio station today, because God got a hold of my heart when I was just a teenager. But I wanted to be in radio, and after I got out of school, I went to Nashville to go to an announcing school, and while I was there, I worked for a classical radio station that played classical music. You take a country boy from Nelson Creek, Kentucky, and put him in a classical station. Now, all I did was just spin the records. I didn't do anything else. I was just there. But, you know, the truth is that had an effect on me, and it opened my heart and opened my mind to some other things other than what I'd heard all of my life. And the truth is, we know very little about music. For instance, did you know that color is sound? Did you know that every color has a sound? That means the blue earth has a sound of its own. That means red Mars has a sound of its own. And sound, color has sound, and I don't understand it all. I just know from what I've learned and what I've heard that color is sound. And so we need to learn some things about music. Music has done more to destroy our nation than any one thing that you can mention. And I've got a feeling that we just haven't seen anything yet when it comes to music. When the best singer on the earth gets up and sings, it may be that God is, what is that? You know, we think we're so good. We are so polished and we're so good. But it may be that God is saying, boy, I wish they'd stop that right now. But no, he wants us to make a joyful noise. But in Job chapter 38, turn there with me, if you will. Job, if I can find it in my Bible, that's somewhere in the Old Testament, isn't it? Job chapter 38. You know, it's an amazing thing about Job, and I'm just about there. Job 38 and verse 7. You know, it's amazing what Job went through. Job went through three friends that were really not much of a friend, okay? And they cleaned his plow up one side and down the other. And then his young man came along, starts giving his advice. And after Job went through all of this, God said, Job, stand up like a man. I've got some things I want to say to you. And the one thing that sticks out to me in where God is talking to Job is he says in verse 7 there, 38 in verse 7, it says, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Let's back up and let's read verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it breaketh forth as it has issued out of the womb? And so, you know, here God is saying to Job, where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Isn't that amazing? Now, if you go back and you start to examine that, you say, hey, wait just a minute. The morning stars sang together. As I said, color is sound. God has his orchestra playing throughout the universe. And I don't believe we've heard anything yet like what we're going to hear in heaven. And so we see that Satan, he is the prince and power of the air. And Job didn't understand all of that. God loves music. So therefore, Satan hates what God loves. And he is in the process of trying his best to destroy it. In my opinion, and you may disagree with me on that, that's your privilege to do so, but in my opinion, music has done more to destroy our country than any one thing that you can mention. Because the Pied Piper sneaks into town and captures all the young people. Remember the story? And all the old people just sat back and let him do it. That amazes me. Because young people like music. And I talk to older people all the time. I tell them about our radio station. They say, oh, I don't listen to the radio. Young people do. But older people, you know, and I'm of the opinion that one reason why they don't listen to the radio anymore because there's nothing there for them to listen to. I mean, all you've got is boom, 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 and ba-boom, 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 and, you know, it's just crazy. I can't figure out how they call it music. It just doesn't make any sense to me that they even call it music. But I believe that music has done more to destroy our country than any one thing. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll get there in just a moment. I was going the wrong direction there. Chapter 14 and verse 7. And this chapter, most preachers deal with this, of the problem of speaking in tongues. But I'd like for you to look at what it says here in verse 7. It says, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be made known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. And so the Bible is very plain here that a musical instrument is to give a certain sound. Now, I have a guitar here. I love the guitar. Matter of fact, the guitar is designed after the English lute. The English lute is designed after the harp that David played. And so the guitar is a musical instrument that can be played in church. But the guitar is absolutely the most abused instrument on the face of the earth. And it seems like that nobody can play the guitar without bending and twisting the strings. I mean, have you noticed? It's crazy, absolutely crazy. And they do not give a distinct sound. They do not give a certain sound. And so, music has done more to destroy our country than any one thing that you can mention. Amazing how the Pied Piper has just stolen what we call music. Billions and billions of dollars are spent every year on recording music. Now, I grew up in the music industry, and uh, I I knew people that that played in bands with big country stars all over the country. I knew many of the stars by name. I knew them. They knew me. And so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But billions of dollars is spent every year. What a rock group or a country group will do is that they will go in and they will block out 2 months or 3 months in a recording studio in Nashville, Tennessee. They will spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000 to $200,000. That's amazing. And they bring in all their booze and all their dope, and it's just one big party. And the record companies are more than willing to pay that $150,000 to $200,000 for their 2 months, 3 months stay in the recording studio, because they know that they are going to sell millions and millions of copies. And the reason they sell millions and millions of copies is because they have got distributors. And so when these CDs are made, they immediately go out to the distributors, and the distributors immediately go out to all the Walmarts in the whole country, all of the other stores all over the country, and, you know, they can sell millions of copies and never even sell one CD because they're there in Walmart or Target or someplace like that. And so it's amazing how that they have this machine running. And that's what operates Las Vegas, Atlantic City, Hollywood, Nashville. The list goes on and on and on. And so they know what they're doing. Now, when it comes to Faith Music Missions, I started Faith Music Missions 38 years ago. And Brother Ross was asking me about this earlier. We have recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of 10,000 songs. By the way, we don't go after the stars. We don't go after the people that are in the entertainment business. And that's where most of our problem is because, you know, just local church people don't sell. Matter of fact, many of you have been back there by our table and you say, well, I don't know what this sounds like. I don't know what, and you don't. You haven't heard it, so you don't know what our music sounds like. And we used to, and I'll say this here tonight. If you find something on our table that you don't like, send it back and we'll replace it with something else. We'd be glad to do that. But one of the problems that we have is that we don't have the distribution like the big companies do. Because we don't have the distributors, because they're not interested in what we do. The truth is, the big companies would laugh at what we're doing. I mean, they wouldn't have any time to invest in what we're trying to do at all. But we're not seeking after talent, entertainment talent. We're seeking church people from all over America and even foreign countries come to Evansville, Indiana, to record with Faith Music Missions. That makes it one of the most unique ministries in the country. There's nothing like it anywhere. I don't know of anything like what we're trying to do in Evansville, Indiana. And the truth is, music is so very important. And I would like to see fundamental churches all over the country take a good look at Faith Music and say, that's it. We need to get behind it, you know. And if they had come to Evansville, most of these big churches, and I don't want to meddle here too much, is that okay? But most of these big churches, if they're not controlling it, then they're not going to get behind it and support it, okay? But if they would have taken a look at that and said, that's it, that's what we're looking for, because my son Ed Russ has devoted his life to producing the right kind of music. And David Chamberlain, who is the best piano player in the whole fundamental movement. You can't find anybody that even comes close to him. And so we've got two of the best men in America recording the right kind of music. And wouldn't it be something if churches all over the country got behind that and say, you know what, we need to get behind that and support it. And I do want to say thank you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for all these years you have supported us. You've stood with us and you stood behind us. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. We are so thankful for what God is doing with the music that we are trying our best to produce on a daily basis. Many times our music sits on the shelf and doesn't get out. And that's why I like coming here, you know, because I encourage you every year, I encourage you to buy 10 CDs and we'll give you two free. And that way you've got Christmas presents, you can give them out to family and friends. And so this is killing about four or five birds with one stone. If we're not killing birds, are we? We don't want killing birds, but you know, if you take these CDs and you give them out to other people, you're helping them, you're helping this church, you're helping yourself, you're helping us. So everybody benefits. So thank you for allowing us to come every year. And when I say that my wife and I love coming here, it is so true. We just absolutely love this place. We should have a song, the right song, in our heart. We are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. And you know, I've heard people down through the years that would say, you know, well, I can't sing. And you know, there are some people that are tone deaf, and I do believe that that is something that's against nature. It's sort of like a deafness. It's, you know, it's a defect. But almost everybody that I have met that said that they were tone deaf, I'd ask them to sing, would you sing, Jesus loves me, this I know? And they'd sing it. And I'd say, you're not tone deaf. Because, see, a tone deaf person is somebody that can't hear the notes going up and down. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they don't know how to go up and down. So they would sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, they don't hear the tones going up and down. And there are a few people like that. But if you're using that for an excuse, I just took your excuse away from you, because you are supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it's like playing basketball. If you shoot 100 times and you only hit it once, you shoot it 500 times, you're going to hit it 10 times, and you just keep on. I had a friend years ago that was 5'9" tall, and he wanted to play basketball, and everybody else was taller than him. So what he did, he got in every position on the court, and he would practice shooting from every place, you know. And he got to where he could just hit it about every time. We need to really pray about our country, because our country is in bad shape when it comes to music. I mean, you know, it's destructive. It destroys homes. It destroys families. And it destroys our young people. And so we need a song in our heart. And we need the right kind of music back in our churches. And thank God for what you are doing here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this message tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done here in this church down through the years, and the history of what it's had, and where it has come from and where it's going. Lord, we just praise you for the opportunity to come here. Lord, I pray that you'll bless in this time of invitation. And Lord, I pray that you'll help especially these young people to have the right kind of music in their lives. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart, maybe some of you young people need to come and lay your music on the altar here. Maybe you need to come and ask God to help you with the music that you're listening to. There may be some here that you're listening to the wrong kind of music. Would you consider getting the things right with God and asking God to help you in that area?